Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Back in 2012, the National Football League announced that it would contribute $30 million to fund research on the effects of concussions on football players. Boston University was to receive much of that grant, but now ESPN is reporting that the NFL is backing out of that commitment after taking issue with the BU Studies lead researcher, Dr. Robert Stern. Now, the NFL strenuously rejects ESPN's reporting. We'll hear more about that and from Dr. Stern himself in just a moment. But first, joining me is Steve Faneru. He's a Pulitzer Prize-winning senior investigative reporter with ESPN's Outside the Lines. He's co-author of the book League of Denial, and he reported this latest story with ESPN. Steve Faneru, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thanks for having me.
So first of all, can you help clarify exactly what's going on here? The BU study that the NIH has approved is a $16 million study. Is any of that money coming from the $30 million that the NFL has said it would commit to concussion research?
No, it's not. So when the NIH put out its request for applications for this study, within the application, within the proposal, there was a note saying that the group that was created by the NIH and the FNIH, the foundation that's associated with the NIH, would receive credit for providing the money for this study. And so there was an expectation with everybody that the NFL was going to be funding this study. But then, as you noted, when the group headed by Dr. Stern was selected, the NFL were being told, objected, raising questions about whether Dr. Stern could be impartial given some of his history on this subject. And so then the NIH was put into a position of having to pay for the study itself.
Hmm. Well, the NFL has issued a statement that says, quote, the NFL did not pull funding from the study. The NIH makes all funding decisions. The league's $30 million donation to the foundation for the NIH to help accelerate research continues unchanged. What are we to make of that?
Well, I think that there's a lot of spin going on here, frankly. The reality is that I think the NFL, it's true that the NFL is not involved in the research that the NIH chooses to conduct. And so when this project was vetted by the Scientific Merit Review and then the Advisory Council, the NFL played no role in that process. But of course, the expectation was that the NFL was going to fund the study. And so when the Stern group was selected, the NIH then announced basically that it was withholding the money. And so you have the situation where the NFL is saying, well, we have nothing to do with the science. But in fact, of course, they can pick and choose who they want to lead the science. And in this case, they're saying that that they don't want to support the Stern group.
I mean, can they really? Because my understanding was that this was a quote-unquote unrestricted grant. I mean, should private donations, even if it's coming through the NFL, do they have any decision-making power in terms of who the researchers are who lead major studies that are funded by these grants?
Well, the reality is the NIH has acknowledged to us that the NFL can pick and choose what studies it chooses to fund. And so in this case, apparently for reasons that have to do with the researchers who were selected, you know, we should point out this is a pretty exhaustive vetting process. There's two tiers of review. It goes on for months. It's very competitive. And you know, in this case, the NFL is saying that they're uncomfortable with the researcher. And I think it's a really valid question is, you know, because this, you know, particularly because this research directly implicates the NFL not only as a sport but as a business, you know, should the NFL have the right, you know, when they pledge this money to sort of pick and choose? They're saying that they don't have veto power, but when you control the funding, of course, there's a great deal of control that goes along with that.
Right. So this is quite a thorny patch of organizations and claims, Steve, because we have the National Institutes of Health, as you pointed out. We also have the Foundation for the NIH, which is the group, the organization that actually administers the funds for the research. And then, of course, we have the NFL, and we have this group of researchers led by Dr. Stern. I should say that we contacted the FNIH and the NIH both specifically for comment. And they said in a statement, quote, the FNIH, okay, the foundation said, the NFL funding commitment to the sports and health research program remains intact. The NFL was willing to contribute to the Boston University CTE study headed by Dr. Stern. NIH made the decision to fund this study in its entirety. And then upon some follow-up questions from us, they added that the NFL has no control over the use of these grant funds, and the NFL has no veto power over NIH's funding decisions. That seems to directly contradict what you were just telling us.
Right. Again, it's there's a lot of spin going on here. So when they released that statement, when the FNIH released that statement, and by the way, no one from the NIH has contradicted what we've reported. When the FNIH released that statement, we tried to understand, you know, under what conditions was the NFL willing to support this study? And they basically refused to get on the phone with us and answer those questions. Our understanding is that once the NFL objected, Dr. Walter Koroshetz, who's the NIH official who's overseeing the study, tried to expand it to include other researchers. He spent time over the summer. He told us that on the record. And that tactic is something that might have mollified the NFL, but ultimately Dr. Koroshetz was unsuccessful, and the NIH decided to fund the study entirely on its own.
Right. In fact, in your story, you quote Dr. Walter Koroshetz, who's, just to be specific, he's the director of the NIH's National Institute for Neurological Disorders, right? And he told you, you quote him, direct quote, that the league retained veto power over the projects that it funds. I have to say, you know, maybe we'll follow up on this because this raises a lot of questions.
It's interesting because this is the second time that we've quoted Dr. Koroshetz about this issue, and no one has ever raised objections to it. It only seems to be after this story broke yesterday and there was a lot of gnashing of teeth over it that people were beginning to sort of semantically pick apart what a veto means. The reality is that the NFL controls funding. It can decide what it wants to fund. It's not funding this study. The expectation in both the request for applications and among the researchers was that the NFL was going to fund this study, and now it's not. Mm. So that's the reality.
Well, we should say, though, that the NFL has issued a statement in response to your reporting saying, quote, the NFL did not pull funding from the BU study. The NIH makes all the funding decisions again, and the league's $30 million donation continues to the FNIH continues unchanged. Last question, Steve. You have been following this story about football and concussions and head trauma for a long time now. What happened with the NIH and the NFL around this latest round of research, what new light does it shed on where we are here?
Well, I think it raises a number of questions that have been going on for a while, particularly what does it mean for the NFL, which is a $10 billion a year corporation? What does it mean for the NFL to be directly involved in this way as a major donor in the research that could ultimately undermine the popularity of the sport? I think a lot of people are grappling with that. The NFL, for a long time, denied that football players get brain damage. Their own scientific research said very plainly that NFL players are impervious to brain damage somehow. And it's only in the last few years that they've now been pouring tens of millions of dollars into this, saying that they want to get to the bottom of it. But I think when something like this happens, it brings up these questions. And, of course, these are questions that are highlighted in the movie Concussion, which is coming out this week, in which the NFL attacked another neuroscientist who made the first discovery of brain damage in a former NFL player and was ultimately attacked by the league.
Mm. Well, that's Steve Faneroo. He's a Pulitzer Prize-winning senior investigative reporter with ESPN's Outside the Lines, and co-author of the book League of Denial. Steve Faneru, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Well, now let's turn to the researcher at the center of this story, Dr. Robert Stern. He's a professor of neurology, neurosurgery and anatomy, and neurobiology at Boston University. He's also the director of clinical research at the BU Alzheimer's Disease and CTE Center. Dr. Stern, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Great to be here, Magna.
So there's a lot of he said, she said between organizations in this story, and I want to acknowledge that. But I also just want to ask you, Dr. Stern, what is your reaction to even the possibility that the NFL balked at you heading this latest study on concussions and head trauma in football players?
So, you know, there's a couple things I really need to make clear. This isn't a BU study. This isn't a Stern study. This is a group of investigators that includes three other what's called co-principal investigators along with me, Dr. Marty Shenton from Brigham and Women's Hospital, Dr. Jeff Cummings from the Cleveland Clinic, Dr. Eric Ryman from the Banner Alzheimer's Institute. These are three world-class researchers and me, and I'm really lucky to be able to work with these folks. There's also 50 collaborators around the country, all of them senior people in their respective fields. 17 research institutions involved with this thing. This isn't BU, this isn't me. So it's just kind of strange to have the whole thing saying, oh, they don't like Stern or he's not impartial. The most important thing, though, is that the NIH is funding this really important study. Frankly, I don't care who funds it. I want to do this research. My colleagues and I are thrilled to be able to have the funding to do this research and move forward. Whether it's the NFL, the NIH, or whomever, as long as the funding is there now for us to move forward, that's what we want to do.
So, Dr. Stern, you and I have been talking about this issue for a long period of time, and I absolutely have been in awe of your commitment to the study of CTE and head trauma. But I'm going to follow up here a little bit and just ask you, does it truly, I mean, I take your point that the $16 million has come through for this study, but it doesn't make a difference to you at all that it seems as if, according to Steve Faneru, that not a dollar of that may be coming from the NFL, even though originally they, you know, they said that they were going to give an unrestricted $30 million for exactly the kind of research that you're doing.
You know, the only thing that actually comes to mind is I'm kind of glad. Because it would be great to not have the NFL money involved with a study like this. It means that we are completely uncommitted in any way, unrestricted in any way. There can't be any strings attached, so we can actually do the science in a completely impartial way. But the reality is NIH has come through. They've done the right thing. They're doing the right thing. And we're now ready to move forward.
So tell me a little bit more about the actual research then. What is the overall goal for this $16 million set of studies?
The biggest goal is to develop a way to diagnose this neurodegenerative disease, CTE, during life. Up till now, all of the knowledge that we've gained about CTE has been through post-mortem examination of brain tissue of deceased individuals who had a history of getting hit in their head a lot.
Because there was no other way to see it other than actually examining the brain tissue
itself.
Right.
And that's the same thing with all the other neurodegenerative diseases, like Alzheimer's disease. And that's a very similar type of disease. CT is a kind of a sister to Alzheimer's disease, but it's a completely unique disease. And so it's only in recent years that with Alzheimer's disease, there have been methods devised to be able to pretty accurately detect and diagnose that brain disease during life. That's what we want to do with CTE. We need to be able to diagnose it while people are alive so we can answer really critical questions like, is this a public health issue? Is this a common disease? Who's at risk? That's one of the major areas of focus of this study. What are the risk factors? What about the genetics involved? And then ultimately, how do we do clinical trials to develop new ways of treating and preventing this progressive brain disease?
Especially since so many people are so deeply concerned about it. I mean, obviously, there are professional football players, but athletes in a number of different sports. You and I have had conversations about whether or not we should also be concerned about even younger athletes in high school and middle school, et cetera. So there's a great amount of interest here. What's the timeline, you know, for the research? It's always a little unfair to ask a scientist, like, will you have a cure in 5 years? But I might as well.
You know, it's a 7-year study. For this one specific grant, it's a 7-year study. And the first half of the study is the baseline evaluations of all of our participants and examining all these what are called biomarkers, these objective biological tests to detect this disease. The second 3 years is to have people come back to see if we can detect a change, see what the course of the disease is. We have so many amazing scientists involved with this project, with the most up-to-date state-of-the-art tools being used that hopefully will indeed come up with a way to diagnose this disease within the next 5 to 10 years.
So, Dr. Stern, last couple questions for you, because truth be told, in years past, you have been very forthright at certain times about how the NFL has handled the question about head trauma in players. I believe, if I remember correctly, when the NFL reached a settlement, a legal settlement with some of your players, you wrote in objection to that. Do I remember that correctly?
Well, what I wrote was an unsolicited, unpaid for affidavit that described what the settlement was actually doing. Because up till then, it was smoke and mirrors. It was, you know, this huge, lengthy document that no one ever looked at what was really being covered by the settlement. And so all I did was I wrote a description of what's truly being covered and not covered. Hmm. No side taken one way or the other, just describing what would be covered and not covered. Whether that's being critical of the NFL, I was actually being upfront and straightforward, not to the NFL necessarily, but also to the plaintiff's attorneys who agreed to the settlement. I just wanted to make sure people knew what they were getting into. That was it.
One wonders if there's a price to be paid for that kind of transparency, though, because, I mean, as Steve Fainru pointed out, we have the opening of the Concussion movie upon us, starring Will Smith, but talking about the story of Dr. Bennett Omolo. And I wonder if there's... No one ever wants to see politics and science mix. No one ever really wants to see business interests interfere with science, and yet we know that it happens. So here we have a multi-billion dollar organization in the NFL that actually has a vested interest in what research might say about how its players play. I wonder if there's any part of you that's concerned about whether or not you, your group, your team, your research in the future may face some of the same backlash that Dr. Omolo faced when he first brought this issue of head trauma into the public consciousness.
You know, we have the most unbelievable team of researchers. They are the world's leaders in neurodegenerative disease and biomarker development, I mean, in neuroimaging, you name it. This research is going to be done with the best researchers doing the best science. Nothing can get in the way of that. And if we publish things based on our results, that will be after things go through a very appropriate peer review process in high-level journals. You know, if the NFL says we don't like that, or another organization says we don't like that, or someone else says we do like that, that has nothing to do with the science. We're going to do this. We're going to do it right. We're going to do it as quickly as we possibly can to come up with important answers.
Dr. Robert Stern. He's professor of neurology, neurosurgery, and anatomy and neurobiology at Boston University and the director of clinical research at the BU Alzheimer's Disease and CTE Center. Always a pleasure to speak with you, Dr. Stern. Thank you so much for coming in today.
Thanks for having me.
There's more of the show in just a minute. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.